show, people. As you can tell by the intro music this week, this is going to be a specially themed Weezer episode. This is the Cave of Solitude. I'm Eric Anthony.
And I'm Jay Siegel.
And I know we've been hinting at this for a while. You guys heard that we were going to do a music episode, probably thought, didn't know actually what to expect, but we've been excited about this one for a while.
Oh, yes.
So, without further ado, let's proceed. So, Jay, I don't know if you remember when first time I came to your place, there was... I was looking specifically at the time at your comic collection, but I noticed something in the back of your closet. What was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was in my guitar strap. The one, the lightning bolt guitar strap.
That's right. And I automatically said, hey, you got the Rivers Cuomo guitar strap.
Yeah.
Why did that shock you that I knew what it was?
You're the first and only person to ever say, hey, that's the same one from Weezer. And everyone's just like, oh, that's a cool guitar strap. No one actually called me out on it.
Really? That's I can't believe that, though, that nobody would, like, out of all of your friends, that nobody recognized that.
I don't know. Yeah, it never came up.
So what's your history with Weezer? How did you get into them?
I knew about the Blue Album. My sister had always played some of their stuff. But then I specifically remember one time sneaking into my older sister's room and then just looking through her CDs because they were always off limits for me. And then
it's like the forbidden fruit.
Yeah. So I was just looking through and then I don't know why. I saw Pinkerton and I was like, yeah, this looks kind of cool. The cover art kind of drew me to it. And then I listened to it, and I loved it. And that's when I really got introduced to Weezer.
How old were you?
Oh, I was really young.
Really?
I was really young when I first listened to Pinkerton. Like I was maybe 10.
Seriously?
When I took it from her. Yeah, so I started liking Weezer. And then I really liked the Red Album. Pork and Beans was the first song I learned to play on bass. No, Say It Ain't So was the first song I learned to play on bass. Pork and Beans was the first song I learned to play on drums.
Huh. So
I have a lot of Weezer history.
So they have like a big influence for you in learning to play music. They were the one of the bands that you listened to that made you want to actually play music.
They were one of the first bands that I listened to and like coherently was like, yeah, I like that music. That was nice.
What was it about it?
It was honestly the cover art of Pinkerton. I was just looking through. She had a massive... My sister had, like, hundreds of CDs. Like, a massive collection. And then I was just looking through, and I was like, this one looks kind of cool. And then I took it. She found out. She got mad.
Yeah?
I got in trouble.
Why?
But it was too late. I listened to it. Because she thought I would ruin the CDs. In fairness, I did. I ruined a lot of her CDs.
Oh, okay. It was like... I had a cousin like that with his comic books. He was like, you can just see them, but you can't touch them.
Yeah. Because
you're going to ruin them. And he was right at the time. I didn't know how to take care of them.
Yeah, exactly.
This... the Pinkerton cover that you're mentioning now, it's... Out of all of the Weezer albums, by far, it's my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
I went to...
Wait, are you talking about like musically or cover art?
Cover art for their albums. Like, it's the one for me that... Everything about that album is completely different from their entire catalog.
Yeah.
The cover art, the...
I do like the Blue Album cover art, too.
The Blue Album, yeah.
What was wrong with Hurley?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I mean, I know he's the character from Lost, but it's just like... he just got this big, fat face.
He just has something against fat people.
No. Rude. I have nothing against people who are big-boned at all. I think he looks cute and cuddly on the cover, but I don't know if I want to see, like, I don't know, it just literally looks like a photo taken. And
you can't deny he looks, like, approachable. That is a friendly face.
Yes, absolutely.
You wouldn't walk up and just, like, give him a hug?
No, absolutely, absolutely. But, yes, like you said, Pinkerton, the cover art to that, I love it. Do you know the history behind it at all? Like, I've always wondered what was the inspiration for it.
Behind Pinkerton?
Like, the cover art.
Oh.
In particular.
Well... Pinkerton is from Madama Butterfly, like opera, and then it's based on the main character B.F. Pinkerton. He's like this American sailor that goes and then he marries a Japanese lady called Butterfly.
Okay.
And then I'm pretty sure the cover art is, like, from... Oh, I can't remember. It's something to do with that, and, like, it had, like, a quote on the original one or something in Japanese. I can't remember all the details.
You're pretty close. I'm looking at... as you're explaining it, I looked it up on Wikipedia, and you're pretty spot on. It's the... album's cover is Kambara Yoro Noyuki.
Oh, yeah. It's from, like, her 50...
Nights No at Kambara.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, they never got back to anything like this. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I like the Japanese influence art cover and the... Anyway, we'll get into this album in a little bit more detail after, because I know you're itching to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Blue album cover, it's classic.
Mm-hmm.
They even reused it a couple times after that, because that's like their signature album cover.
I wish they had kept doing it even when they left the record, just gone through colors.
Yeah.
Because they did. They, like, released the... Well, they're all technically just self-titled albums. It's just because of the color. People have labeled it as that.
Yeah, they could have made make-believe, like, Weezer Black.
I wish they had, like, went down and then... Because they had the pattern going. They had released the, like, self-titled, then released a different one. Reef a self-titled, then a different one.
Yeah.
I wish they had kept doing it, even when they dropped the record label.
They might. They might go back to it.
Maybe.
For me, I can't say that my Weezer history is as deep as yours. I really like the band. Weezer Blue and Pinkerton are two of my favorite albums in my collection. I got a pretty good collection of music, but those definitely are two of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite bands, but I didn't listen to them when I was young. I remember my first memory of them was the Buddy Holly music video, because it was so popular at the time.
Huge.
And my cousin had gotten a new computer, and it was included with the Windows 95
video. Yeah, yeah.
And he kept playing it over and over again, and I just loved that song because of it. I thought the video was so creative for the time.
Yeah. You know who that's about? Buddy Holly is about the girl that first introduced him to Kiss.
Really?
You know how he cites Kiss as, like,
major it's his favorite music. Yes.
Yeah, that song is about the girl that first showed him Kiss.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like I said, I know a lot of really little weird facts about them.
No, you know what? That's perfect. The last couple of podcasts, I talked my butt off. I want you to take this one over and give me all of your Weezer knowledge. So they recently came out with, the about a month ago, their new album, Everything Will Be Alright in the End.
Yeah.
And people, critics are saying it's like a throwback to their original sound in a lot of ways, kind of going back to their roots. And we're going to make this our pick of the week, by the way. Since this is a full Weezer episode, we're not going to have our usual news and pick of the week with the Batman sound effects. But we'll make this one our pick of the week. So what do you think, as a an uber Weezer fan, of what do you think of this album? Is it a throwback?
I will go through. Just give me 1 second. I think they're starting to. I don't think it's a complete throwback. But honestly, I don't think they could do an immediate throwback, because they're already pretty far off that genre. They're still alternative, but it's not the same type of sound. Plus, I think he himself, like Rivers Cuomo, is in a better place than he was when writing Pinkerton.
That's, I think, so long ago, though.
Yeah, I think the biggest throwback for me is Go Away.
Really?
Yeah. Why? That one, to me, sounds most... Even though they have the guest... artist on it. I don't know. That one just gives me, like, the most Pinkerton feel. It feels like a very personal song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of your favorite tracks on it?
Go Away is by far my favorite.
Okay.
Then I really like Uology for a Rock Band, Lonely Girl, and I've Had It Up to Here. Those are probably my three following ones after Go Away. And then I like Ain't Got Nobody.
So you like how it opens up?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the... I probably like the first half of it better than the second half. Well, actually, no, that's not true at all. I don't know, just the songs I like, and the songs on it I don't really like, I'm not big on. Like, I skip them.
Okay, which ones are the ones you don't like?
I really don't like Da Vinci. don't like The British Are Coming.
Why?
I actually like those songs. Why don't you like them?
See, Da Vinci to me is like, it feels like he's just force-feeding like pop culture references.
But that's what, like, he does, though.
No, he doesn't, though.
He does, though. Like, if you listen to the Red album, he does that. Like, on My Heart Songs and is it Pork and
but
Beans.
But this one, these ones aren't, like, aren't meaningful. Aren't, like...
You think those ones are more meaningful?
Yeah. You know in Heart Songs how he goes off that list?
Yeah.
That's because he bought, for $1, 12... tracks when he first like got a job.
Okay.
And in those is a lot of those artists that he lists, like Eddie Rabbit, Queen.
Yeah.
A lot of those. So like those have like cool kind of meanings.
You don't think these songs have any?
Okay, tell me how invested Rivers Cuomo is actually in like Rosetta Stone.
I don't know. And you would know.
In Ancestry.com. No, that kills me.
But
they just seem too cheesy. They're like over the top.
Okay, so you don't like the see, that's for me, I think that's one of the things that they're known for, is kind of being that satirical cheesy sound.
Yeah.
Kind of simple lyrics,
but like
very...
make them kind of, I don't know, make them better references or something. I don't know, I didn't like the references in that song.
Okay, how about Foolish Father?
I did like that one. I don't know what's behind it, though, so I'll be interested to find out later on if he's ever interviewed about it.
But didn't he, like, from Say It Ain't So, he talked about having, like, a troublesome relationship with his father, his stepfather, right? And then in Back
well,
to
yeah,
the Shack, he brings it up again. He said, like, sorted things out with my dad.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe this is...
Okay, I don't know if I'm just stupid. I totally thought Foolish Father... Yeah, no, Foolish Father, he's singing from the daughter's perspective. Forgive your foolish father, you are his daughter.
Yeah, but do you think that has anything to do with his experience? And maybe he's talking... I don't know. If I'm wrong, to people who
That's
know
what,
this album inside out...
It's new. It's new. I need to find out more. I haven't done my research on this album.
Okay. And why don't you like The British Are Coming? Same thing, the pop culture reference?
No, I don't know. It's just that song doesn't emanate with me. I don't, yeah. Just, I don't know. Everyone's entitled.
No, that's fine. I want to get your opinion.
I have no, like, musical problems with it. I think it's pretty catchy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You just think it's an unnecessary song, like, subject matter.
Who cares? That's exactly what it is. It's like...
What does this have to do with anything?
Why are you writing a song about this? I don't know.
Fair enough. How about the single, Back to the Shack? You had said to me before, the first time we listened to it in the car, that you thought it was just like, his rhyming is so basic and like, make more use of what you could do with a song and your lyrics, right? Because the first thing you said you listened to is the lyrics of an album.
Yeah, the lyrics, because like, that was the first time that I just listened. The lyrics started impressing me more, especially how closely have you listened to I've Had It Up to Here?
I've listened to it a handful of times. I don't know how, like, what are you referring to?
I feel like that's him kind of looking, this is probably just my interpretation, might not be true at all, but I kind of felt like that was him talking back to, like, all the people that hated on Pinkerton so hard.
Yeah.
And, like, him saying, like, I tried to give you my best, and you just, like, plugged up your ears and just rejected it.
I know
felt
what you're
like
referring
that was
to
exactly
now.
Back to it, and I was like, that's wicked. That's
yeah.
Really
Do you think
cool.
he was talking about that?
I have no idea.
I thought the same. It was like a letter to the critics.
Yeah.
Because even...
Or even the fans. Because the fans were so critical then, and then they're so critical now. Like,
you think they're
I feel
so
like,
critical now?
Yeah.
To Pinkerton?
No, not to Pinkerton. I'm saying the fans are so critical now, saying, like, why don't you go back to Pinkerton? Give more stuff back to Pinkerton.
Okay.
I feel like this is him just to everyone, like, listen, I'm just trying to make music and, like, do my thing. Get off my D.
Okay. I don't know what to say now.
That's just, I really liked that song because I thought that was, like,
no, you're right.
Kind of message behind it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Now that I think back to the lyrics of that, it was like a, I guess, a middle finger to the critics, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I actually like Lonely Girl too. One made me feel a lot like an old school.
Yeah, I would vintage. Say that's like my second kind of okay. They're getting back there.
That sounded like maybe a B side to the Blue Album type of thing. Just the rhythm, the way they sang it, the way
it's still kind of poppy, but like at the same time, that's good. Has a strong guitar too.
Yeah, you know what I noticed about this album when I listened to it on multiple occasions was how like. I like that their songs are short. I've always liked that about Weezer, bands like that. But by the time, I don't realize by the time I get to track 9 or 10, because like you, I like Go Away as well. I think lyrically it's a little bit lazy. It's very simple, especially like the second verse.
Yeah.
But I still like it. I still get that good old Weezer vibe from it.
Oh, I have the featured person's name. Who is it? Bethany Cosentino.
Okay.
Now, this is complete coincidence, but she is part of a band called Best Coast.
Okay.
And I actually really like them too. I have them on my iPod and like have seen them live.
Oh, really?
So it's really weird coincidence because remember when we first listened to it, I was like, man, I really like her voice. Her voice is really good, but I didn't realize it was the same person.
Okay.
So it's actually someone I know too. It's cool.
Nice. Now, something they did different on this one that I don't think they've done before. I think the one song that kind of comes to my mind where they made it like a big grand scope of a song was the Greatest Man Who Ever Lived.
Yeah, they jumped through a lot of different music.
That was almost like a Queen song in the way that it was played.
Yeah.
And this one, it's not the same type, but the Future Scope trilogy. What did you think of that? With the guitar solo, it was like very...
I thought there was like that I liked because you could hear his kind of his metal influence.
Yeah,
there.
I like those
two. I like that he was kind of, for better essence, this album just makes me think he's starting to push back to kind of his older
Back to the Shack
roots. Back to the Shack.
Yeah, it plays well. Like you even the songs that you mentioned that you disliked.
Yeah.
They're still catchy for me, which I think does the job. Whereas the albums before, like, I don't even want to talk about Ratitude. I will say that I bought every Weezer album. That was one that I brought back to the store and said, I do not want this.
I can't remember. There are two songs I love on Ratitude, though.
Yeah, there were... It wasn't all bad, but it didn't sound
overall,
like a Weezer album. And I'm a bit of a sucker sometimes for reviews. I enjoy reading reviews, getting the feedback of what to expect. And I read a review on a site that I respect, and it rated the album really well.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, like if this site said that this album is as good as this other Weezer album, I'm gonna give it a chance.
Yeah.
And I should have just went with my gut instinct at the site of that album cover with the dog on the trampoline or whatever it's doing. It's just ridiculous. As soon as Lil Wayne is on a Weezer album, Weezy and Weezer, I was done. I'm like, this is...
I love the fact that in this thing, he references that, though, in Back to the Shack.
Yes.
He's like, I don't know why I was, like, going into, like, dance music or something.
Yes, thank goodness. They're away from that. From the very beginning of Ain't Got Nobody, like, you hear that crunch of the guitars.
I think, for me, personally, Ain't Got Nobody is, like, the third closest to throwback.
Yeah.
Just in kind of tone-wise?
It feels like the first four albums. These songs are additions from the first four albums.
Yeah.
Not all from... They're not like Blue Album retro.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of a Blue Album feel, a little bit of a Green Album feel.
Yeah.
And then Maladroit as well with like the metal influence.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the... It would fit in that category because I kind of split their catalog down the middle a little bit, like from the first four and then Make Believe and then everything after that.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of look at their catalog. Okay, so what would you give this album? Like, where would you put it in your Weezer catalog? Where would you rank it for yourself?
I'd rank it pretty high. I actually, overall, I like it. I skip... Kind of the British Are Coming in Da Vinci. Cleopatra kind of breaks my heart because I love it. I really like it.
Okay.
Except for when he does, have you know, the counting thing? It goes up by fives. I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that part too.
You just ruined a perfectly awesome song.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I was wondering too. I'm like, what does it have to do with anything?
That part drives me nuts. Driving me nuts. I was listening to it. And I was getting fried on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part, same. I couldn't stand.
Otherwise, I really like that song too. So yeah, I'd say pretty high. I would probably put it like right after Make Believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where would you put Make Believe?
Okay, probably easier to just go Pinkerton's my favorite, then like Blue Album, and then I'm very tied between Make Believe and Green Album and Red Album. All three of those I can listen to just as easily, and then I'd probably put this one after that.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
What about you?
Album wise or this album?
Album wise. No, well, both.
Where would I... this album for me fits in with the first four. So, almost literally in the order that they were released. I'm also on the Pinkerton side of things. If someone were to say what's their best album, I would say Pinkerton.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be hard-pressed to say that it's not Blue Album either. Like, I'm very tied with... Those are like a tie for me.
Yeah.
And then I really like... the feel of Green Album. It's very easy to listen to. Very catchy. Every song's very catchy. I'd kind of maybe put this one in their top four or five for me. Maladroit's there too. So it'd be kind of tied in those bottom three with Green Album, Maladroit, and
I actually like this one better than Maladroit.
Yeah?
I like Burnt Jam probably better than most of the songs on this album. But overall, yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay. So that's our pick of the week, our little rundown of the Weezer album. It's good. I would probably give it a solid 7.5 to 8 out of 10 if I were to give it a review. I think it's easy to listen to. If you're a Weezer fan, you'll like it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's a good album. Okay, you have these Weezer facts.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some of these Weezer facts.
So
what do you want to
go
through
the CDs and see it. So we'll start with the Blue Album.
Okay.
And then... I typed them out because I didn't want to forget any.
Okay.
So, I have, like, general Weezer facts just about them, about the band, some, like, kind of funny things that I don't think are super common knowledge.
Okay.
But then other stuff that's, like, completely, I don't know, related to specific stuff.
Let's go through it.
So, first of all...
School me, Siegel.
Have you ever heard of the band Dogstar?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's who, when Weezer first played, that's who they opened for.
Okay.
Dogstar. Now, Dogstar's bassist was Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Yeah. So, Weezer opened up for Keanu Reeves' band.
That's a really odd fact.
Odd fact, but hilarious, right?
Okay.
Isn't that just the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their music style off of Blue Album.
Yeah.
I was looking up a little bit of their history and their influences,
mm-hmm.
and I know you don't really like this band, but one of their influences was Nirvana.
Okay, no, I don't think it's fair to say I don't like Nirvana. I totally respect what they did.
Okay.
I just think musically, some of their stuff isn't as good as some people say.
Okay, that's
yeah.
fair. And they were label mates with them as well for a little bit.
Yeah.
Another one that surprised me, but it didn't surprise me, was the Pixies, which is probably my favorite band,
mm-hmm.
or top three favorite bands. I love the Pixies. Can you hear their influence a little bit? The Pixies' influence in Weezer?
No, because I've never listened for it. Maybe I could. I'll try and think of it.
The one thing that I do...
Actually, in Holiday. Yeah, I could probably see it in Holiday. That kind of like the slow, heavier...
Yeah,
I could get that.
Yeah. I find, too, like, similar with Nirvana, there was that quiet type of playing that builds, and then it just goes into the hard guitars.
Nuts, yeah.
And I think we... The Pixies were one of those bands that kind of made that their signature style.
Yeah.
And
actually, I could see
that. Nirvana said that was an influence for songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. If you listen close to the Pixies and then go and listen to Nirvana, you can hear that influence, which is I think is pretty awesome.
Did you read the story about him hearing Smells Like Teen Spirit?
I listened to it today. I was listening to the Red album today.
Yeah.
And I think it was on my Heart Songs. He talked about how that song changed his life changed the way that his musical direction went.
Because, like, he was working on stuff, and then he first heard it in a kitchen with a guy.
Okay.
Like I said, another random fact.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he heard it, they were, like, going nuts and stuff, and he was really angry. He was getting angrier and angrier, because then when it was done, he looked at the guy, and he was like, I should have written that.
isn't that the worst feeling, though, when you hear something that you just wish you would have wrote, because...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Have you ever felt that?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Anytime you listen to, like, good music, you're like, oh, I could never do that, or I could do that.
You could do that. Yeah. That's when it bothers you more. It's like, I could have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what you felt. And Nirvana, Nevermind, is regarded in such, like, high esteem in music and that generation of grunge and alternative and...
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Blue Album would fit in that same, what's the word? People would never, I don't think, say Blue Album is better than Nevermind because of the impact it had in Kurt Cobain. But, these songs, this album, from beginning...
Me personally, I would take this album over Nevermind.
I might, because I feel like from beginning to end, this album is playable. There isn't a skippable song to skip. It's got a good vibe through the whole thing. And the one thing I like about this one is, whereas Nirvana is so angsty and, you know, capturing that, lack of a better term, teen spirit of just being an angry teenager,
mm-hmm.
or... being around a family that was unattentive, whatever Kurt Cobain was trying to get across.
Yeah.
This one here has that same kind of topics at times,
yeah.
but much more playful, much more lighthearted. You feel positive after you listen to it.
Yeah. I feel like they captured kind of like, super pun, but they captured the teen spirit in this album. Because, like, yeah, you deal with a lot of serious problems, but at the same time, you're pretty upbeat. You feel like you're invincible.
Yeah.
And I think this album does that really well.
That's what I think, too. I find that this album is a feel-good album. I still feel like I can relate to it, even though I'm no longer, like, a young person. I didn't listen to this again as when I was young. I was listening to all hip-hop and angry gangster music. But as I listen to it now, I can totally relate to a lot of the themes on it.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite songs from Blue Album?
My Name is Jonas is probably my favorite.
Is that would you say that's your favorite Weezer song? Because that's usually people's, like, go-to. No?
No, that's not my favorite Weezer song. My favorite Weezer song is Across the Sea.
No way.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Really?
I thought I would be, like, the only person who's that was their favorite Weezer song.
No, I sing that song to my sister all the time.
I don't know what it... You know what? The first time I... Going on a tangent a little bit from the album. First time I listened to Pinkerton, I wasn't crazy about it because it was so different from the Weezer I had listened to up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it a second, third time, and Across the Sea just hit a note with me, and it reminded me of actually people that I knew, and I was like, this, like, I know people that this song kind of relates to. I love that song.
I like it just because, like, musically it's really good.
Yes.
It goes through the phases and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, he's telling a really powerful story there.
Yeah.
Like
and I like the details he puts into things.
Yeah.
Like, the second verse when he says about the stationery.
Yeah.
Something so, like, obscure. Like, who writes about stationery? But you can really...
At the same time, that's what this whole thing is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. Okay, going back to Blue Album. Favorite song. My Name is Jonas. Is your favorite off this album?
Yeah, I think so. But, like, then I love Undone. I love Holiday. I love Only in Dreams. Like, those are probably my top ones, the ones that I'll go to automatically.
And they're so much fun to sing along to.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Best road... I think this is top 5 all-time road trip albums.
Yeah.
You pop this in, and you just have a blast listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is singable.
Yeah.
Like, I went to the... with a buddy to the Blue Album tour that they were doing.
Oh, like a year ago or whatever, where they played it
the entire Blue Album.
I wanted to go to that so bad.
If you were in the city, we would have been there for sure. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to be. And they came out dressed like the album cover.
Really?
Yeah, it was wicked. it was good.
I'm jelly.
I'm a big fan of In the Garage.
Yeah.
I know that's maybe not the song, the go-to song on this album, but the things he references, I can totally relate to that feeling of being in that safe haven place where it's your happy spot, where you don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
And when he references Nightcrawler, Kitty Pryde, like, oh, he's probably keeping the shirt.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I have another fact. I forget. I totally wrote it down somewhere. Anyways, okay, the general thing is, you know how he says Peter Criss, that's the drummer for Kiss?
Okay.
When he was in school, he didn't want to go by Rivers Cuomo. So then his stepfather's name was like Christ or something. Something similar. So he went by Peter Christ throughout all of like high school. And
really?
And grade school too. And then that, like, he said it in the song, yeah. It's kind of funny.
Rivers Cuomo. That's an awesome name though.
Yeah.
Like, who else is going to be named?
Yeah. His brother's name is Leaves. So that kind of sucks. He got the short end of the stick.
Okay, so Blue Album, you say, is your second favorite Weezer album.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, if I had to pick top five Weezer songs other than Across the Sea, they'd probably all come from this album.
This one?
I'd be hard pressed not to leave something out that I really like. Like My Name Is Jonas, In the Garage, Undone. Which one do you leave out? It's hard. That other albums have you can say that, yeah, that song's way better than it. Like, this is the album. This is the Weezer album.
Yeah.
See, let's go on to Pinkerton. See, for me, Pinkerton, this is the album that, as much as you play Blue Album from beginning to end, I feel like Pinkerton has to be played.
Yeah.
From beginning to end.
Because Pinkerton, while it's never been outright labeled, it almost is like a concept album.
Yes.
Just because it was all written with the same influences and in like the same time period while he was in Harvard.
Yes. And I'm sure you know that they weren't going to make the Pinkerton right after Blue Album.
Space themed opera.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine?
That would have been interesting.
That would have been very interesting.
I wonder what it sounded like. They probably have some.
It's all of those, like, he released stuff solo-y.
Okay.
So okay. That album, he released solo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, obviously your favorite song, Cross the Sea, is your favorite Weezer song. What other songs on here are your standouts?
I like The Good Life because the kind of story behind it is pretty interesting that he wrote like a song about it. And then I do I don't know, it's tough. I like all of them.
Yeah
It's,
this gets played as a set. Like, when I first listened to Tired of Sex, I was like, this is a stupid song at first. You gotta remember, if you listen to Blue Album, and I think the next album I had listened to was Green or Red, you play this, you're like, what is this? This is a Weezer album? It's so abrasive and dark, and the more you listen to it, you hear it. You hear him coming through, but you see he's in a dark place. And it's angrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I like about this, because it has so much real emotion in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's like a concept, but there's a theme that carries through the whole thing. Like, he comes back to references.
Yeah.
Like, there's that Japanese theme. So I'm guessing he was talking about a Japanese girl that broke his heart. Would you know? That's what it sounds like listening to this.
Across the Sea is about a Japanese girl he got like a letter.
Okay.
From her, and then he like obsessed about it, but that was pretty much the only song where he talks about her.
But then on
he talks about
El Scorcho, right?
Yeah, that is the same girl as Falling for You. Cause he talks about the cello.
Yes.
So that was a girl that he had met in Harvard.
Okay.
That he had a big crush on, but like he never said anything. And then El Scorcho is actually named after a hot sauce packet that he had from like a Del Tacos or something. This
again, that's
I warn you, the little things that
no,
I know about them are weird.
No. I like those little well-known facts. El Scorcho is another one of those communal songs. Like, you get together with a group of people.
Yeah.
And that's like the... It becomes an anthem.
Yeah. That music video where it's just them, like, just in a warehouse with the lights. Originally, they weren't going to make any music videos because he didn't want any of, like, the songs to be ruined.
Okay.
By visuals, but then when it started doing bad, that's why they rushed, and that's why the music video is a little bit simpler, because
yeah.
It's literally just them playing around with, like, some lights and stuff, but I don't know why that music video is, like, my all-time favorite music video. It's something so simple, but so, like, yeah, this is what I would picture when picturing this song, like,
yeah.
Just the weirdest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Initially, when this album came out, like, from what I've read, I was alive when it came out, but I wasn't, like, into Weezer to know. But it was, like, hated on, like, crazy.
Oh, Rolling Stones
gave it, like, they
voted
say,
it as,
worst,
like,
album of the year.
Worst album, like, I forget what it was.
I think I have it on
it,
here.
It's something, like, it was voted, like, the worst album.
Yeah, worst album, third worst album of 1996.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. And then, think about this, Rolling Stones came back, and they've nominated it as one of, like, the... I'm probably misquoting this, but, like, I think they might have said one of the top albums, like, ever.
Readers voted it the 16th greatest album of all time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far, because,
like,
there's the amount of great albums that have been released in the last 50 years. To put this 16, but that just goes to show you... the impact that this album had.
The, like, shift it had.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to listen to a good rock album, Weezer Pinkerton is a must-have in your collection.
Yeah.
Even if you're not crazy about that power pop type of sound, this is a great album.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar World ranked it number 76 on their top 100 guitar albums of all time. Like, it's a very well-respected album.
Yeah, one of my favorite, like, things about just Rivers Cuomo and, like, the whole Weezer thing is that when some bands talk about stuff like, oh, where did you get, like, this kind of reference from? And they're like, I don't know, it's just, like, a reference. No, everything that he does is tied back to little things.
As it should be.
And
though.
His thing, like, it's awesome.
You gotta give a piece of yourself, right, in whatever art you're making. That's what makes it last.
Yeah.
For especially in the hearts of fans, when they know that where you've taken certain things from and what it meant to you when you wrote it, it means more. I think that's why this album over time became more and more of a classic. Like, to think of how badly received it was to what it then became.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There isn't many, I can't think of any album off the top of my head that had that transition.
Yeah.
In viewpoint.
I really wonder how they would have been if they had released this and then the Blue album.
Yeah.
Granted, a lot of the experiences from Pinkerton were because of the Blue album.
But
just in a theoretical world, how Pinkerton would have been received. Because I think part of the reason why it was received so bad is it's, like, a completely different tone than that.
But,
like,
he
Blue
said
album,
this album was,
so,
like, it was the shift from becoming super famous, and this was the after effect of what it was like to be famous. Like, the dark side of it, he was saying.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So I don't think you would have had this. But that's part of it. I think that's part of the Pinkerton's charm, is that it's so, what people think from one end of the spectrum to the other, to what it became, it makes it, adds this charm, this sort of mythology to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from this, at the time, they were in a kind of a dark place after Pinkerton. Then they go to Green Album, which became, like, pretty big success, almost like a comeback.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? That sound on Green Album, because it's a lot more cheerful and has those, like, right from Don't Let Go, like, as soon as it there's a lot of those I'm not going to do it, but when they sing, or those that type of
the backup vocals,
very lighthearted,
like, positive,
like,
kind of motivating,
almost like
a
Beach Boys sounding, you know what I mean?
You see those references, those, like, influences too.
Yeah. So, what did you think of this album? When did you hear this in relation to the other stuff?
I have no idea.
It was just like part of the experience.
Yeah.
And then you kind of put together all this from this album.
Yeah. I do remember the first time I ever pieced together who Island in the Sun was by was in a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie. they play Island in the Sun.
You know what?
And I was like, hey, that song is good. I like that song. What is that song? And then like, I tied it and I was like, oh, it's Weezer. And then, yeah.
You know what? I bought this album, and I didn't know that they sang that song. Remember, I bought these albums way later.
Yeah.
I was getting into different types of music, and I was putting my collection together. And I was like, they made this song? I had no idea. And it almost feels, when you first hear it, out of place on the album. You know what I mean?
I think it could fit in better other places. It's just after Hashpipe.
Yeah.
Hashpipe is like probably the heaviest song off that.
Yeah.
And then leading into such an upbeat, light, kind of fun thing. It sounds weird, but at the same time, it makes me like it even more.
Yeah, yeah, me
the
too.
The fact that they can just be like, yeah, whatever.
It, one of my favorite songs. I know it's a radio hit and everyone knows it.
But I feel like some of those songs deserve it because they're so good.
Yeah. 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 I like, what else do you like from this album?
I do really like Hashpipe. I like Don't Let Go. I like Photograph.
It's very, again, sequence. Yeah. The album sequence really well. Like, you play it, press play, and by the time you know it, you're on track 9, because the songs are short.
Yeah.
Not a long album.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I have, like, any that I really would pick out besides Island in the Sun.
Okay.
As my absolute favorite off the CD.
Okay.
But I do, just in general, really like it.
Okay. So, Maladroit. How Maladroit? How do you say
it? I have a funny fact about this, though.
Give the funny fact. Go ahead.
So, their bassist at the time was Mikey Welsh.
Okay.
So, when they were filming Island in the Sun, the music video, he went missing. So, he's not in that music video.
Their bassist. He died, didn't he?
He died later, like a year or something after.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling it as funny.
Okay.
Even though it's still not funny, because he disappeared and then he turned up in a psychiatric thing. But in order for a fill-in for the music video and stuff, that's when they phoned, I have his name somewhere, Scott Schreiner, their bassist now.
Okay.
That's when he first got introduced. They needed a fill-in for the music video. And that's where he got introduced.
Which kinda bassist do you like better?
Interesting. I don't know. I think I like Scott a bit better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then they go a little harder with, musically, they go a little bit harder with the fourth album, Maladroit.
Yeah.
And it has more of that heavy metal influence to it. I mean, it's not a heavy metal album, but it has more of that harder guitar style.
Yeah.
What do you think of this album? Any standout track? You said Burnt Jam.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite Weezer songs. Just the transition. So light, so like...
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden just goes so hard. Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I like his vocals, how falsetto they are when he's singing to it. I like the spelling, even just how they spelt the track. No, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
this is a strong album.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it as often. I gotta kind of be in the mood for this one.
Yeah.
But Dope Nose, Keep Fishing. Burnt Jam is good. Long, is it their longest album? 13 tracks on this. I don't think
the newest one is longer.
It's got 13 as well, the newest one. But I don't know how long the running time is.
Oh, yeah, I don't know either.
This one feels a little bit longer, because usually their albums are like 10 tracks each.
Yeah.
And then they go into Make Believe, one of your favorites.
Yeah. You don't like it?
Some songs I really like. I listened to it again today because I wanted to give it a fair chance. Again, I'm a little bit too influenced by reviews and criticisms I read, so
yeah.
I didn't.
It is a very like poppy,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Once I got to "We Are All on Drugs," I was like, "This
is yeah,
stupid."
No, it and "Beverly Hills" throw out the window. Take away those two songs, and I would move this album up and say it's a solid third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those two. That's why I told you when you were gonna listen to it. I said, don't think of those ones. Listen to everything else.
Beverly Hills, I don't hate as much, because I feel like it has like, it's kind of what I've come to expect from his type of songwriting. Those references, silliness, lightheartedness.
See, now you're talking about it as a negative.
No, it's not a negative. I'm used to that. I don't mind that kind of... It's like he makes everything satirical. I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes fun of things. But we're all in drugs. I didn't see any point to that song.
Yeah.
You know, fun fact about that one?
I do.
Okay.
MTV refused to play it.
Because it's stupid.
Because it is We Are All on Drugs. So for like the music video and stuff, they released it initially as We Are All in Love.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of songs on this for me that I just feel like... I mean, it was produced by Rick Rubin,
yeah.
who is like the go-to producer for...
Yeah, he produced
production.
A lot
like,
of their albums, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like... If you get Rick Rubin to produce your album, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And this album was successful, but I just don't feel like it. Perfect Situation is a great song.
Yeah.
I liked... Even up to We Are All on Drugs, I liked it.
Mm.
Those...
Whoa, wait. You didn't like the, like... What are... sorry, let me see it. What are the back things? Oh, no. Pardon... Yeah. See, for me... I, like, love Damage in Your Heart, Pardon Me, My Best Friend, The Other Way, Freak Me Out. I'm not huge on Freak Me Out. I think probably my favorite song off this album is Haunt You Every Day.
I listen
when
to
it. When it comes in with, like, that, like, organ playing.
It's a good song.
Wow, it's awesome.
There are good songs on this.
Yeah.
But it's not one that I would say, if someone said I wanted this to Reezer, I would say, here, there's this one. I wouldn't put this one. I wouldn't give them this one.
Why? Is it just because, okay, but it's taking you so long to get into it. You're letting the reviews,
you should just
listen to it.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And I was surprised the Perfect Situation, this was, because I heard that song so many times. I'm like, oh, that song's from here.
Yeah.
And I bought it, even though the reviews for it weren't great. And there are songs on it that I like, but it's where I find their music getting like... So those like you know those pop culture references you say that
but
silly.
See he's not
I find he does though I find this like
besides We're All on Drugs and Beverly Hills where in any of those songs
I don't know it just throws me there's something about it that just doesn't connect for me
yeah
it's not I don't hate it but it doesn't fit into the...
And he did change his writing style for these. I remember in one interview just talking about it, he changed. Like, he tried different things to boost his creativity, so, like...
Yeah, I was listening to my... They're nice songs, My Best Friend. Like, they're very nice songs, but it's kind of like...
It's shallow.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
That's
but
it.
But see, Haunt You Every Day isn't. I feel like that one is, like...
No, that's right.
Like the ultimate revenge.
That's the right word.
Yeah.
The songwriting, even on the new album, some of the songwriting is a little shallow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like...
Okay, but, like, but Peace, Hold Me, oh... I do have
another
thing
about
Hold
Me. I
like
Peace.
Yeah, Peace is good.
Yeah.
Hold Me, one of his experiments or whatever was he didn't eat for like, I think, a day or two and then tried to write a song. He's weird.
No, he's
quirky.
I like that about him.
Yeah.
I like that he's quirky. I like their songs generally sound like they come up with the music first and then they play whatever words come to their head. That's what some of his songs sound like.
I think with a lot of them, yeah. Oh, Pinkerton, I think
no,
personally
Pinkerton
that's what
written.
Makes it so special.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's like these are these stories.
Yes, that's
so
what
well.
Makes that. All even the other albums, the Blue album was like that too. But the later albums, they sound like he's just rhyming things, almost like a freestyle.
Like
kind of.
Ancestry.com.
Yeah, fine.
Boom.
I don't
Shots
disagree.
Fired.
I don't disagree. I think that the lyricism on these later albums is what'd you say, shallow?
Shallow.
Basic.
Yeah.
He's not getting as...
Like he's too afraid to go in depth for
yes.
fear of another Pinkerton.
Yes. And I think that kind of holds it back sometimes. Okay. They got a lot of albums. Let me think about
they
it.
Do. Yeah.
Red album. You say... I'm going to go start by saying I really like this album up until they have the other guy start singing.
Okay.
I don't like those songs. I don't
no.
feel like they're written by him. I don't feel like they're Weezer songs. If they were from another band, I might like them. But
yeah.
when I'm listening to this, I'm like, I can get it. This sounds like a good old Weezer album.
Yeah.
And then that happens, I'm like, it just doesn't fit. The sequencing for this throws me off at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
I did like Red Album. In fact, that is, like, it's one of my favorites because I learned to play the drums with, like, almost all the songs
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I love Pork and Beans. I love the music video for Pork and Beans. They got, like, all the YouTube celebrities
okay.
into it. Grace Man Ever Lives.
Yeah,
that
I like
one
that.
Has a nice run through. Troublemaker. Troublemaker is more of that, I think, shallow thing, but musically, it's just a really fun song.
Yes, I like, see, the, even the shallow things he does, I still feel like it's purposeful, because
yeah.
I like that part where he goes about the arts and crafts. How's this for arts and crafts? And just,
yeah,
I like that.
It's cool.
It's fun.
Yeah. And now with all, like, the guests and the different appearances, I'm pretty sure that one was their most expensive album to make.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was almost $1 million. Went into producing that.
I wasn't sure who the singers were. I didn't look that deep into it, but I was just like, I just want to hear Rivers Cuomo. Like,
yeah.
that's something when I listen to
I think
to
it was
album.
With this album that they hosted, like, the Hootenanny thing, too. That was, like, they went on a tour called Hootenanny.
Okay.
And with that, they offered anyone in the audience could bring their instruments.
Okay.
And, like, play with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you have done it?
What? I don't know. I would have been terrified.
You would have been able to play the drums for this album.
Yeah.
You
yeah, there you go.
There
I
you go.
On that.
I'm not, if you want to talk about Ratitude, go ahead. I got nothing to say about that one. That
I
one
don't have anything
disgusted
to say
me.
About them. Yeah.
Lil Wayne is on that one. I'm done. I grew up listening to hip hop and I never was a big fan of Lil Wayne. I know a lot of people like him. That's great. It doesn't belong on a Weezer album.
Yeah.
Anything you like about that one? I'm not gonna.
There are two songs. Like I said before, two songs off that one that I like. I'm gonna look here really quick and find out what those two songs were.
I think I remember liking two songs from that as well. I don't know
I like
what they're called.
Put Me Back Together and I Don't Want to Let You Go. Super sappy songs.
Okay.
But
I have actually the album here on my iTunes.
Yeah.
I guess I uploaded it.
I still have it on mine too.
Yeah, but I don't listen to it. It's
yeah.
not on my iPod. Okay, moving on. The last album that they released before Everything Will Be Alright in the End, Hurley.
I know the least about this one. I've listened to this one the least of all their albums.
Okay. This one is a good departure from Ratitude, but I still think it has a little bit of those sensibilities,
yeah.
but not as much. It's much more of a listenable album,
yeah.
I find. If I'm in, sometimes I'm in the mood for it, I enjoy it. And then other times it has like those... I don't know. You should listen to it again.
Yeah.
And come
it's
back and tell me what
time
you think.
It's been a long time since I've listened to it.
Yeah. It's still... It's more into their trying to be radio-friendly, poppy. Almost appealing to, like, an even younger audience.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I appreciate about them. Even though I think it has had somewhat of a negative effect on their band, Weezer has always been a really fan-based band. Always really in touch. With
yeah.
their fans. Like, he used to, like, go on their blogs a lot. I mean, even with Maladroit, I remember their writing process was he posted
yes,
stuff online.
Yes, yes,
and
I read
got
that.
People to vote, but
which
then they
song?
Scrapped it all because I'm pretty sure he said, like, he hated everything that the fans voted as popular.
Really?
Yeah.
None of those songs made it? I thought...
None of them.
Really?
I think... Oh, no.
I thought
is
that...
Slime or something one of them? No.
Slob?
Is that one on them?
Yeah, Slob is on there.
Yeah, that's the one.
I had read that myself.
Yeah. So, like, I like that. I like that they're a really fan-based band, but I think it hurt them in the long run, him caring so much, because then it... I think that's kind of what also got them away from Pinkerton.
I want them to do a Pinkerton tour, the same way they did a Blue Album tour. That'd be amazing. Because when they came and did their tour for the Blue Album, he did, like, this theme of... going from the latest album and doing like a back in time type of thing.
Yeah.
And the lights on the stage were changing.
Yeah.
To go with whatever album it was.
Yeah.
Played a lot off a Red album. I don't remember.
Yeah,
because
they call it like
green.
The Weezer a Time Machine or something.
Yeah. And he played one off of Pinkerton.
Yeah.
I was so upset.
Because I feel like even though it's so obvious that everyone loves it, he's still, I think, like...
touchy about it.
Scarred from that.
Oh,
he's like,
why?
I
want it... You know what? I got this t-shirt at the concert. I'm wearing the Weezer blue t-shirt. I wanted the Pinkerton shirt.
Yeah.
something that was pink. Like, I don't know why they just don't embrace it. Like, people love it now. Okay, they didn't like it at first, but now it's,
yeah,
like,
at least. But he has been quoted in going back and saying, like, it was a really big risk for me to do at my age, but, like, or where we were or whatever, but, like, he's acknowledged that he's on better terms with it, but I don't know if he's on terms where he'd actually play it for people.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
It's a shame, because that's, man, the response that would get now for the throwback aspect of it, like,
yeah,
the nostalgia. Oh, man, people go crazy for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, do you have a top five list of Weezer songs? Top of your head, go.
My name is Jonas.
Oh, there's Daphne J in the background. She made an appearance. That's your favorite song, Daphne J?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because I can play a mean guitar. I'm a guitar hero.
You got 100. She got 100%.
I'm like,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's impressive. So I think my top five favorite songs. Across the Sea is probably my favorite one.
Yeah. I'm so surprised that.
Weird that that hasn't come up before. We talk about them so much.
Yeah.
I really like A Good Life. Then yeah, My Name is Jonas, probably up there, Island in the Sun, Haunt You Every Day, I don't know, so many.
It's hard, right?
They have a lot of songs. I think those, was that five? I think that's five.
Yeah, that's five.
Yeah, I think those would probably be about my top five, but subject to change at any given time.
Yeah, okay. So, my top five... You know what? I couldn't think. I cheated. I said, Blue Album.
What? Name your top five albums. The sad thing is, then I would still be leaving four albums out. They have a lot of music.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens though when there's a catalog so long, right?
Yeah.
Something gets left out. But my top five would be Across the Sea, and then the other four would probably be off the Blue Album, if not the entire Blue Album.
Huh.
I couldn't pick. Because it just plays so well.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so where would you... Weezer for you and your bands that you love, where do they rank for you?
They shift. They kind of jump around for me. Like, probably in the top 15, if not top 20 bands.
Yeah?
For me. Because I have a lot of sentimental value with them. But then sometimes I'm in the mood, and when I'm in the mood for them, then they're like top 10. But then, so like when I heard we were doing this episode, then I started like
going kind
of racking my brain. I was like, oh
yeah,
man, yeah. And when I was listening to stuff, I'd remember little bits like, oh yeah, this was like
mm-hmm.
from his leg and stuff. And then, so then that makes me like go back to them and I'm like, yeah, they're top 10. But then when I'm not thinking about them, no, yeah, I'll say they're somewhere in my top 15 favorite bands. But I would put Pinkerton in probably my top 10 favorite albums ever.
Okay.
So.
Nice. For me, probably same. Top 10, I would say, favorite bands. I once I start thinking of bands that I love, and then I'm like, oh, wait a second, that band's got to go ahead, or no, this band has to go ahead. It becomes all scrambled in my head. But
yeah.
Cool. All right, so we're going to discuss the next musical episode. We're going to keep it a secret. And when we come across it, we'll pick another band with a new album release, or maybe go back and go through their catalog.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll warn you, I don't know as many random facts about other bands.
You might. We'll pick a band that you do.
Okay.
And maybe it'll be a band that I have to listen to that I've never listened to before.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
Okay. So that'll wrap it up for this episode of Cave of Solitude. This is episode 4. We're getting a lot of good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We're on iTunes now, so keep updated with that. I was gonna say stay tuned, but follow us on iTunes. Leave us a review. CaveofSolitude.com is also up. It's still in its construction stages. And you can reach us at CaveofSolitude@outlook.com, Instagram CaveofSolitude as well. We want to get your feedback, and we will shout you out on the show. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.